So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh.
So, take a look.
It's a very monumental edition of Review Away. It's the first edition of Review Away for 2010. And we're getting set way for the big head-to-head battle between TNA Impact and WWE Raw coming up Monday night, January 4th. And for today's review that we're going to get right into, we're going back to January 4th of 1999 for a special edition of WCW Monday Nitro from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia.
11 years exactly to the day.
Do you at all recall watching this, or were you a fan of WCW at the time?
I actually recall watching this Nitro. I do not recall watching the Raw, but the Nitro I do remember watching. And
I was. You and me are the same age, so we would have been about 14 years old at the time, I think.
Yes.
I was 14. Yeah, we were even born the same month, so we were both have been 14 years old at this time.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this and thinking it was the lamest thing of all time, but I didn't give it much thought. And then it was years later reading about how it was this edition of Nitro that everyone said was the turning point for this company.
I actually probably had quite the different viewing from you. I had been a wrestling fan for most of my life up until then, but I think I stopped watching around maybe 97-ish, so yep. Like even during the main peak of the business, I stopped watching, and it was actually this show that
brought you back.
brought me back.
What was it about this show, or did you just accidentally tune in?
Well, why don't we go through the show and then?
Okay, well let's get into it. It's Monday Nitro. Your commentators: Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, and Larry Zbysko. This show impressed me so much with Tony Schiavone that I tried to add him on Facebook today.
Really?
And I must interview this man.
Well, how does he look now? Does he look any different?
The exact same with a beard. Mm. Yeah, as according to his profile pic. He actually does now, like, play-by-play for the Atlanta Braves on the radio and stuff.
And so. He's on Facebook.
Yeah, and he's
you
on
can
Facebook.
Add him. Maybe he'll join our Facebook group.
Maybe he'll come on. You know what I'm kicking myself
members.
Over is that I try and think of, you know, when we can have an interview on Review Away or something like that.
Yeah.
I interviewed Kevin Nash in 2005, and I know I asked him about the one-finger finish and him taking credit for it. And if I had thought about it beforehand, I just thought of it today. So next week, I'm going to try and find that clip, and I'll put it on the show next week of Kevin Nash defending the finish. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The opening was a setup of Kevin Nash and Bill Goldberg with a Greek tragic style of music. I lost all my interest in this main event when I saw Disco Inferno involved in a run-in, because they were recapping Kevin Nash winning the title from Goldberg about a week earlier at Starrcade, which was the first WCW pay-per-view I ever ordered on pay-per-view. Disco Inferno ran in during the match, and then Scott Hall hit Bill Goldberg with a taser, and then Kevin Nash got the win. So there was this very cheesy opera style music.
I actually enjoyed this, John.
Oh, did you?
Yes, there was no voiceover. This was different from their typical opening. This was no voiceover, simply told with black and white footage, very dramatic, describing Bill Goldberg's first loss ever,
and pumping up the huge main event that you weren't going to get to.
The rematch.
Yep. The show opens with Hulk Hogan showing up. They see him coming out from the parking lot there, and he's going to address the fans tonight about his recent announcement that he's going to run for the presidency of the United States. And this was, if you remember, he did an angle where he retired on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno over this.
Uh-huh.
Then we go, this was awesome. At this point in time, every week they did a Nitro party at some college campus, and then the giant winner would get a box here at the Georgia Dome. And we went to WCW's own Jimmy Barron, who was with the winner, Howard Kaniski, who Tony Schiavone called Kaniski, and then we had his name repeated, and it was not Kaniski. But nonetheless, he was in a private suite with his closest friends. And Jimmy Barron, who was this little dorky white guy, kept saying that things were off the hook. And then highlights of this party were one of the fans who, there was a sign on the wall that just said party. And then Jimmy Barron is like, well, introduce us to some of your other friends. well, this here is my buddy Marty Simon, and then Marty Simon, yeah, Marty Simon, in that exact voice.
My highlight was awesome. In that same sentence, he Jimmy Barron says, introduce me to some of the guys and some of the ladies. There were no ladies.
There were no girls.
Absolutely zero women in that party suite.
They were all Goldberg fans and started chanting for Goldberg, which would be quite funny when they'd cut away to these guys later in the night.
You want to introduce us to some of the guys here and some of the ladies? Let's meet some people.
Steve!
This is Marty!
Hey, it's Marty Simon!
We go to our first match of the night, and it's Glacier. Remember Glacier?
I do remember Glacier.
Against Hugh Morris, who's sporting a new look. He's now, his head is shaved.
Yes.
Glacier's entire entrance is ignored by the commentary as they give backstory about Randy Savage's return last week on Monday Nitro to assist Ric Flair in defeating Eric Bischoff for control of WCW, which would be a big storyline here.
Mm-hmm.
Morris came out. He was with Jimmy Hart. They announced that over 40,000 fans are here at the Georgia Dome.
44,000.
Pardon?
44,000.
44,000.
In the Georgia Dome.
Now, Larry Zbysko, once again, was not talking about the match at all, and he had the this great line. How could Kevin Nash look himself in the face after that win? I don't know why I wrote that down that was so funny, because it doesn't sound funny here on... I could have been hammered when I was watching this.
Yeah, okay.
How could Kevin Nash look himself in the face?
Yeah.
I guess I look in the mirror. Because you technically can't look yourself in the face.
No, you need a mirror for that.
So
maybe you're too busy paying attention to the match, unlike the announcers.
No, that wasn't it. Morris attempted to hit Glacier. Okay, this annoyed me. This was the first thing that really annoyed me on this show, okay? We have Jimmy Hart on the apron, and Glacier gets in his face. So Morris goes to run and attack Glacier, but Glacier moves, and Morris goes into Jimmy Hart, which is traditionally a heel move. The heel usually is the one that fucks hits his manager.
Who's the heel in this match?
That's what I'm trying to explain. We didn't know who the heel was. Then Hugh Morris plays to the crowd and hits his moonsault on Glacier for the win. Very confused about whether Hugh Morris was a babyface or a heel, because that spot was a heel spot.
This was the new era of wrestling. There were no good guys or bad guys, John.
Yeah. Tony Schiavone announces that he's excited about WCW in 1999. I don't think he was saying that 12 months later.
No.
Schiavone says that Flair will be here later on for a state of the sport address. Because, you know, way, you can't say union in wrestling. Mike Tenay says there's a sense of relief in WCW now that Bischoff isn't in control. Then we're back from the break, and
now we see the Flair family and the horsemen walk out with them from the limo.
Yep. He arrives almost 15 minutes after the show had started, Way. He's the head of the company.
I don't know. Come on. Some things you can't explain. That's one of them.
He was accompanied along with Arn Anderson, Reed and David Flair, the rest of the horsemen.
And Ashley.
Ashley, was that who it was?
Yes.
One of his daughters. And then he gets into the ring with Gene Okerlund, and the first words out of Okerlund's mouth are, you know, I'm not working you. You're the boss of WCW. And Flair was like, yep. He calls out Eric Bischoff, and he said he isn't going to be firing him, but says Eric Bischoff now works for Tony Schiavone as an announcer and is going to cut his pay in half. Then way, they showed a clip of Eric Bischoff firing referee Randy Anderson, who legitimately battled cancer. That was not a storyline. Flair hired him back with double the salary. And actually, Randy Anderson actually died in May of 2000.
Yeah, I had no idea they even did this angle. Well, they actually showed clips of them bullying Randy Anderson around, and they even brought his kids out.
Legit kids, too.
Legit kids out.
Yeah.
And this was just done in incredibly poor taste.
The other one's name was like Montana or something. Anyway, so he's hired back with double the pay. And then finally, this was awesome, Way. Flair says that he's putting himself into the main event at the next pay-per-view entitled Sold Out against Kurt Hennig and Barry Windham. And he didn't know what the type of match was called, a two-on-one match. And he says, I call them a gimmick match. And Arn corrects him and says, it's a handicap match. This was just funny because Ric Flair has legitimately got upset at people in interviews when they've said the term heel.
Really?
He gets upset over terms like that, and here Flair is not protecting the business here.
Wow.
A gimmick match.
All right. What happened next?
Well, why don't you tell us how this was turned from a gimmick match into a tag match?
Well, I rather than me tell it, I think you should let the clip speak for itself.
David Flair.
Yeah, you know, Dad, I've been watching you, you know, you and the Four Horsemen since I've been real young, and I want to be your partner at Sold Out.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Whoa, hey. What about a dad? What about a president?
I love him. He's my son. He's not ready for this. I'll know when the time is right. He knows what he's doing.
You hear that? With the enforcer? Huh?
You and me?
I'm ready.
All right, man. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Everybody, it's the greatest wrestling program in the world. Enjoy yourselves tonight. It's World Championship Wrestling at its best.
David Flair speaks up. He says, Dad, I want to be your tag team partner at Sold Out.
And Rick just laughs him off like, what a dumb idea.
And for some reason, Arn Anderson says, Rick, he knows what he's doing. And Flair agrees. And thus we have...
He knows what he's doing.
Thus, we have the beginnings of the illustrious career of David Flair right here on this same edition of Nitro.
We go to Breakaway, and thankfully, Justin Arthur, who provided us with this this downloadable Nitro edition, did include one commercial, and it was for Conan's new T-shirt.
Oh, shit.
After you're done throwing them up, put it on. K-Dog official Mad Fat Bomb shirt. So stay rowdy, rowdy, and bowdy, bowdy.
Get your K-Dog t-shirt for only $20. Call 1-800-NWO-0242.
Wolfpack, somos unos vatos locos forever.
So Conan is selling his new K-Dog shirt.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wow. Merchandise was just flying off the news.
I miss those. I mean, I think they should make stuff like that right now. They don't do that
enough. Where you have to call a phone number to get a t-shirt?
Yeah.
It's too easy now on the internet.
Think about in 10 years' time when we do Reveal Away on about an episode that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to see stuff like that.
We're back from break, and it's now Booker T against Emery Hale. And this Emery Hale would pass away in January of 2006 at the age of 36.
Okay.
And I don't want to be morbid here, but there's quite the body count on this show, Way.
Yeah, there is.
Not much here. Booker T, this was like a one-minute match. Booker T wins with a missile drop kick off the top rope, and then he announces that he's going to be the number one contender around this sucker, OGB, baby.
What does that stand for?
I figured, Way, that would probably means original gangsta, baby. I don't know. OGB. What would that mean? Original gangster would probably be the OG.
Original gangsta.
Bitch.
But you wouldn't call yourself the original gangsta bitch.
Original gangsta Booker. Original gangster Booker.
All right.
The original gangster. Even though he's younger than Stevie Ray.
So then he's not the original,
I guess.
Anyway, I have no idea. This match, all it served was more background pictures for Tony Schiavone to talk about Hulk Hogan with, and it lasted less than a minute. It was completely the first half of this whole show in the ring, completely throwaway.
Yeah, absolutely. We should also note Eric Bischoff is on commentary at this point with Zbyszko. And Schiavone, and he does not say a word at all. He's just sitting there.
Well, that's his gimmick, is that he's pissed off.
Next up, we have Norman Smiley against Chavo Guerrero. Schiavone starts fucking with Bischoff here and tells him that, okay, Eric, you're going to get producers in your ear telling you to say things you've already said, but you're going to have to say it again anyway. So he's basically taking jabs at Eric right to his face. Awesome.
That's funny.
Chavo looked way smaller here.
He
way
looked very
smaller.
Small, and he had a lot more hair.
And this was pre-wellness.
Mm-hmm,
things
mm-hmm.
were crazy at this time in the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm,
and he was using Pepe at this point. And
This was a good match.
It was good.
But most of the attention, however, again, was just paid to Bischoff not talking.
And, yeah, and to be honest, I wrote here on my notes that Schiavone and Zbyszko getting on Bischoff, it was starting to get tiresome by this point. And this was like the first hour of a three-hour show of this.
He's got the focus. Obviously, Chavo Jr. still playing with the kiddie toys. And don't make it with the big boys.
Hey. Down.
Right, Eric? WCW with the big boys play, Eric, right? Idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
A little annoying. Schiavone had the comment during the action. We had a point-of-view shot from Pepe, and Schiavone noted, as Pepe looks on.
Okay.
Like he's real.
What's next, John?
No, we gotta include this this terribly sloppy sequence. Chavo went into the ropes feet first, kind of like what Jericho would do for the Lion Salt, but he fell through. Then he tried to recover and attempted a springboard tornado DDT, and it was terribly botched.
Yeah, it was. It could have been horrible. Could have been a lot worse. So I mean.
Guess.
For recovery, I thought it was all right.
Guerrero won with a sunset flip, but then Smiley immediately gets his heat back, and he attacks Chavo and throws Pepe onto Chavo and then does the big wiggle.
All right.
From there, we go on. You know what I noticed about this edition of Nitro? It was just match, 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 match. There was nothing backstage except for, not until the second hour.
Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot backstage.
The first hour, it was just one match to the next. And
they had to keep the crowd excited before Raw.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They were just the lead-in for Raw.
Yeah.
After all, Mick Foley was winning the title tonight.
Yes.
Horace Hogan against Chris Benoit. Schiavone starts this match off by plugging the upcoming NFL playoff games this Sunday, and he fucks up all the team matchups. And then they call attention to the fact that he set up, like, I don't know, the Patriots were playing the Cowboys or something. He's like, wait a minute, that's not right. And then he corrects himself. And Zbyszko just comes in. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Exactly. Fucking cares?
Who cares?
It's a wrestling show. Schiavone and Zbyszko at this point threaten to put Bischoff onto the international broadcast with Scott Hudson if he doesn't start performing.
What is that international broadcast?
They used to do voiceovers for they do like their Saturday night or their pro shows, and they'd be syndicated overseas. So they do the voiceovers for like.
But do they simultaneously commentate Nitro?
No. This international would be, team? Like, they would do a voiceover for... They had a one-hour show on the weekend called Pro.
So it's just...
And they'd voice that and then send it overseas.
Right, okay. So
I don't know if they'd have some of it dubbed.
So it's not like a different language.
No, I don't think so. It was just a shot at Scott Hudson, I imagine. 2 minutes after he was rehired, Randy Anderson was working this match as the referee.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's that fast.
They didn't waste any time. Nope. Two German suplexes by Benoit.
Did we announce who was in this match?
Chris Benoit and Horace Hogan.
Oh, did you did?
I did say it.
I didn't pay attention, so.
You can rewind now and double check. Horace Hogan and Chris Benoit.
All right.
Two German suplexes by Benoit. A top rope suplex, a headbutt from the top. Then Hogan goes for a vertical suplex, but Benoit reverses it into the cross face for the victory.
Did you have any trouble watching this match?
It was a little weird. As I know we had this discussion, I know Jay Cunningham doesn't agree, but I'm not Vivek has my back on that point.
Yeah.
You find it weird watching Chris Benoit?
Personally, no, not really. I mean, for me, like, when I watch these shows, I'm able to just rewind my own self back to the time when I saw these the first time, so didn't really bother me too much. But anyway, doesn't matter. The announcers ignore this match as well, and talked about what was to come. Which was?
Bill Goldberg, way, because all of a sudden we cut to backstage.
Mr. Goldberg, we have a warrant for your arrest.
You have a warrant for my arrest?
That's correct.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
Whatever it is, whoever charged me with whatever it is, like I said, you know, Jack knows, everybody in this city knows that I do nothing but positive things for this community. I do all the things for kids. I do things for the fallen cops. So you and you and you, nobody here can take me in for anything that I didn't do. You got that? I don't care, because whatever it is, I'm innocent.
Then Goldberg is resisting arrest, saying he's not guilty. He says he stands for good in this town, and he will fight the law enforcement to prove it. Says his whole life is on the line here.
His whole
life is on the line.
Well, his reputation. In the city.
This angle, WCW's life was on the line for this broadcast, believe me. Goldberg leaves in handcuffs, and Kevin Nash comes out, and he's pissed off, saying, hey, I have a match with him tonight. And in the background, Hogan's laughing, and this upsets Kevin Nash. And then as we cut away, we see two detectives questioning Elizabeth.
I have to say, I think Bill Goldberg does a good acting job here.
Interacting with these cops. He legitimately looked pissed, and he probably was pissed reading what he had to do tonight. Because this was the death of his character, in my opinion, was these 8 days from Starrcade to this night.
It actually was
murdering of Goldberg.
The plot thickens.
Yes. Our next matchup, Perry Saturn, who was recently found on Facebook, taking on Chris Jericho, who's accompanied by Ralphus. Larry Zbyszko just goes into his own personal commentary on society here, saying, Goldberg doesn't need to worry, because the way our judges are today, criminals are back on the street the very next day. Well, that doesn't help Goldberg, who's got a match tonight, not tomorrow, Zbyszko.
It does not. Saturn is rocking his gay biker look here.
Dude, I don't understand, man. Like, I know we look at some fashions and be like, wow, man, the 80s were crazy. This was 1999. I was well aware of fashion in 1999, and this was not cool in 1999.
Perry Saturn was making a statement, a fashion statement.
Wow. I guess so. Shivani, the intrepid reporter here, said that we will stay with this Goldberg story, even if it means cutting away from this match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a huge decision the production had to make. Cutting away from a match they barely talked about.
They're talking about David Flair's debut instead of this match.
God.
This really was like, in terms of in-ring work, this really was like a who's who of people who would go on to greater things after
the WCW
careers.
You know what, it
WCW
really was.
Careers.
When you look at this, like, Christ, we had Benoit earlier, we had Booker T.
Jericho, Ray Hoovy.
During this match,
Kidman. Well, the, not really Kidman.
The story of this match is that Jericho hit the ref, Scott Dickinson, right in the face. But Saturn was about to jump off the second rope, and he hit the ref after Jericho pulled him in. And then Jericho hits a low blow on Saturn, and Jericho gets the win by disqualification. And the angle here is that Saturn and Scott Dickinson are feuding.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even pick up on that until afterwards.
Saturn had the line of the match when the camera was in on him, and he's just yelling, I didn't give up! No! Perry Saturn, I miss that guy.
Yeah. I don't really, but yeah.
We continue with the Bill Goldberg story, Way. And I realize I'm doing a lot of talking here, Way, so just feel free to interject.
No, you go ahead. Here. This is I
realize I went pretty extensive on these notes here.
Well,
I'm only halfway through.
All right. Well, what happened next was Bill Goldberg was in the police station, and he was being questioned by the police. The police revealed that Liz has charged Bill Goldberg with aggressive stalking.
What is non-aggressive stalking?
Maybe
just regular stalking is a misdemeanor.
I suppose so.
This could be a felony if it's aggravated.
What
you define as aggravating?
Exactly what Liz, how Liz defined it.
We should announce, they called her Elizabeth Lebetsky.
Isn't that her name?
No, Hewlett. Close. All of a sudden she was Polish here.
All right, so this was all that.
We should note here, because this is important for later, Shivani specifically stated that the Atlanta Police Precinct was right across the street from the Georgia Dome. So just for later on, folks, that's a huge, huge inconsistency. The policeman was named Jack in this, and he was smirking throughout this entire segment, we should note. Back to the Nitro party with Howard or Harold and his friends, and they interview one of the fans. It's like, what do you think about Bill Goldberg getting arrested? He says, good, should keep him in jail. And Jimmy Barron just had to completely ignore him.
Yeah.
The top babyface. Keep him in jail.
Keep
piece
him
of
in
shit.
Jail.
Now we have the Elizabeth interrogation. She states that he was at the pay-per-view last week. He was at the TV tapings. He was at the hotel and the gym. And he's just always there. And she feels threatened about this.
Yeah.
He's at all of their places.
Yeah.
In their place of business, Goldberg has the audacity to show up.
This sounds to me like aggressive stalking.
It is aggressive. I'll tell you what was aggressive. The insertion of this random Latino World Order video that went on for 10 minutes. Thank God Eddie Guerrero was in this video because it was terrible. It was like a party at Eddie Guerrero's house with all the LWO members wearing their masks and their shirts with all these Latino girls. And they're just partying.
And a legitimate 5 minutes of this. No point whatsoever.
Now, I know that I don't want to get into all of Eddie's problems and stuff, but this sounded like an inside joke where they're like, "You want anything to drink, Eddie?" And he's like, "Yeah, soda. Make it diet." Eddie had a lot of drinking problems. Do you think that soda line was just in there just to... Also, we should note that everyone remembers Eddie Guerrero's huge car accident he had. It was on New Year's Eve of 98. So when this aired, Eddie was in a hospital.
Holy shit.
He was like, there was a point he might have not even been able to live after that. He ended up coming back 6 months later, but he was in terrible condition at the point this aired. It was New Year's Eve of 98.
And they really profiled the lowriders in this video.
Yes, they did. There was a mariachi band at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie seemed to be just breaking the balls of El Dandy throughout this.
Yeah, yeah.
And says everyone needs to respect the LWO.
Yeah, this was...
This was probably the last time we'd ever see the LWO, because Eddie's injury kind of ended it.
I gotta say, like, this thing, for what it was really well shot. And, like, they spent a lot of money on shooting this stuff.
I know they did.
Really good
lighting.
Every time
I thought it was gonna end, it just faded to another scene.
Yeah, it was just, like, a lot of very fancy lighting, a Steadicam, everything. It looks very expensive, but the point... I do not understand.
I don't know what the point of this was other than they're all a group and they're about to be broken up. And if you notice, Rey Mysterio covered his face even though he was wearing a mask in this because I think he was part of the LWO. He was like a hostage of them.
We'll get into that.
Because he was in the very next match.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan joins the broadcast at this point. We're replacing Larry Zbysko. Bischoff's still not talking. Then we get a tornado match with Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio against Juventud Guerrero and Psicosis. And when I saw this, realizing... These four guys in 99, this match is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But we started off with a terrible joke. This was Bobby Heenan's opening joke. Has the cat Ernest Miller been on the show tonight? Shivani says, nope. Then who has Bischoff's tongue?
Oh. Ooh. Well, don't let that ruin the match for you.
That was bad.
But Rey Mysterio came out and partnered with Kidman here, and I did not know what was going on. And then eventually they announced Rey as a member of the LWO, but he's wrestling on the other team.
I completely turned my brain off for that portion of the match. Uh-oh.
Oh, who is that? It's time for the weekly phone call.
Dude, it's Jason Agnew again.
All right.
This is going to be our weekly segment. Hello? Yeah, but it's okay, because last week when you called us, we kept it in during the actual podcast. So now you've done it again, so it's going to be a weekly segment.
Put him on speakerphone.
Okay. Sasha's going to come get you. Yep. He'll be right there. All right. Thanks, Sasha. All right, that was Jason Agnew's weekly phone call.
More megabytes to your file.
Exactly. And this is going to be a big one, because the law is 3 hours tonight on top of this, we're almost at 40 minutes here.
Could perhaps be the longest file.
Podcast in history.
In history.
That's what we're shooting for. Talk to us about this match, way it ends with, you take us through it.
I didn't actually note anything in this match.
All right, well.
But it was a good match.
Psicosis went over the top rope and hit a guillotine to the floor, and Shinovani and Heenan ignore it. Kidman with a top rope dropkick hits Hoovy. And Ray, and this allows Psicosis to hit a top rope guillotine for the pin. Psicosis was so underutilized in WCW. I was always a big fan of Psicosis.
He was good.
And this was when Kidman was really solid.
Yeah, but think about it, though. Like, a guy like Psicosis, what would you have been able to do with him? You know what? Ray, I guess, would have been the same thing. I don't know.
More with Goldberg at the police station defending what he has... what he has been saying the whole time, and why he was in the same places as Elizabeth, stating that he works with them. And then they were like, what about... Well, let's play this. I was going to mention there. The Obachi Gym, which Bill Goldberg apparently owned.
The Obachi Gym.
Obachi.
Yes.
Okay. Gene Okerlund is out to interview Kevin Nash, and Nash challenges Hulk Hogan as a warm-up for Bill Goldberg tonight, and Ric Flair comes out and makes the match. So we're getting Nash against Goldberg and Nash against Hogan tonight, Way, as advertised.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to do both, Kevin Nash.
Elizabeth is being interrogated. I take back everything I say about nothing backstage. Holy Christ, I didn't realize how many segments of this there were. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth was terrible. I thought she was a horrible actress.
Yeah.
There was a reason that she was never booked to talk in her entire WWF run. Mm-hmm. Other than, oh yeah, that's the only words she ever had to say. Thank God.
She never had to participate in these aggressive stalking interrogations?
The two detectives that were questioning her, this was like right out of like Dick Tracy or something. It was so lame. She mentions that she was at the Coke machine getting a Diet Pepsi. And Goldberg was there getting a Coke from a Diet Pepsi machine or whatever it was. Hulk Hogan comes out with Gene Okerlund and says that he was going to name his vice presidential running mate for the upcoming election, which would not be occurring till November of 2000. Then he called Goldberg a sexual deviant and accepts the challenge for Nash later tonight, and he owes his fans one last retirement match. One last retirement match.
Yeah, this was...
11 years ago.
this really...
Hogan's coming back tomorrow night, folks.
Yeah, this was it was an interesting promo. I mean, there were a lot of... I don't know if he was the good guy or bad guy in this. He's supposed to be the bad guy, but he's doing a lot of stuff for the fans. And
just shades
know,
of gray, Way.
Shades of gray.
Then they show a video of Jericho, and it says today...
Well, before that, Tony Giovanni makes the... as they go to break, Tony Giovanni says...
If you're thinking about changing channels to our competition, we want to let you know that unlike us, they've got their show in the can. Their show's been taped. Later tonight, Mick Foley, who once wrestled here as Cactus Jack, is going to win their world title. I mean, that's going to be their world champion.
Well, at this point, everybody changes the channel.
Yes, this is where they announce that Mick Foley is about to win the title on the opposing show.
Yeah.
So if you want to stick around for Scott Steiner and Conan, stick with us through this commercial. If you want to see Mick Foley beat The Rock for the WWF title, it's about to happen in 2 minutes. And what happened was... 550,000 people turned from Nitro to Raw. These fucking idiots. It was awesome.
I stayed.
We come back, and there's a video from earlier today of Jericho telling referee Scott Dickinson to take charge in his matches and enforce the rules. And I guess they didn't notice the camera here. And that is why Scott Dickinson is now a heel. That leads into a television title match. Scott Steiner, accompanied by Buff Bagwell, takes on Conan. Steiner cuts a promo before the match, calling fat men, quote, gas-pumping rednecks, which was funny, and says, you can't censor me, I'm out of my mind, and I love it. Then Bagwell joked about having a heart attack. Conan
wins by DQ.
What
was that making fun of?
I don't know what it was making fun of. They did do an angle a few weeks before of Ric Flair having a heart attack, so maybe they were making fun of that.
Oh,
I have no idea. It was... 44,000 people at the Georgia Dome didn't know what it meant.
A lot of people have had heart attacks in pro wrestling.
Yeah, maybe. Looking at Bagwell's body, him having a legitimate heart attack at that moment in time would not have been shocking. Mm. Scott Steiner and Conan, these two men are still alive, unlike most of the people on this card. Conan wins by disqualification. This match was pretty bad. And they had this weird explanation during this match of why title changes occur so frequently in 1999. And they said that it's harder to keep a title because the opposition is so much more difficult, because back in the day, television champions could handpick their opponents.
Oh, is that why?
So that's why. Not the hotshot booking.
Mm-hmm.
It was because the competition
makes
is just so
sense.
Tough to keep a title.
Well, it's like the light heavyweight title in the UFC. Exact same thing.
Exactly. Vince Russo's booking that division, too. Then, Way, Brian Clark, Wrath, comes out, and he cut a promo. And he said that he was running through the competition like a runaway freight train, and people spent money tonight to see him, and he wants competition. Which person of those 44,000 dropped a penny to see Brian Clark compete?
His parents, maybe?
I don't think they live in the area. Brian Shit. Clark. And that leads us to Wrath versus the late Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, for some reason, now that it's the heavyweights, the announcers suddenly care about this match. And for the first time in the show, we get some play-by-play commentary.
And Bischoff just randomly broke his silence in this match. And he called Goldberg jailbait, and he called him a punk.
Hmm.
I thought this whole thing was to build up for him saying something at the end of the show. Nope, just randomly spoke here. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
These two just brawled for... This match was so long. Like, so long. It went like 10 minutes, and it finished with a double countout.
Yeah, who cares?
Interrogation room. Liz announces all of her contradictions after they threaten her with perjury and announce that she could go to jail. Liz confesses, and now she feels bad. I know that she's the worst actress, but still not as bad as Tiffany. So, essentially, you would think that the charges are dropped here. But no, we're still going to get another segment here. They go to the Nitro Girls, Wayne. Did you notice anyone of note in the Nitro Girls?
Yeah. I noticed a couple wrestlers' wives.
Yep. Charmel and Mrs. Michael Hickenbottom.
Yes.
Whisper.
And who are the other ones? Sky.
Fire.
Che. Anyone else?
Well, Kimberly Page would have been in there, right?
Yeah.
So those were the Nitro
Spice.
Girls. Spice. I wonder where they are now.
Most of those
Nitro girls.
I have no idea.
Charmel was like the most successful of the bunch. I guess Kimberly Page, she was in the 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, that's right. She exposed a breast in the 40-year-old virgin.
That was
success.
They point out the former coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and the commentators could not have less interest in announcing this, and neither did that guy look interested as he was talking to some kid. Next up, the late Bryan Adams against Diamond Dallas Page. And I thought the last match was long. This one was just as long. DDP hit a diamond cutter from the second rope to get the clean win. The highlight of the match was DDP on the floor, and Vincent went to pick him up, and he yelled, "Fuck." And I rewound it to listen to it. So that was funny.
Wicked.
Then back to the police station, wait for the final time. Elizabeth has dropped the charges, and Goldberg is banging the back of his head against the wall. They announce that they're dropping the charges, and he says, "Take me to the dome." There are 25 minutes left in the show, and the police precinct is across the street, everyone. As they have announced on their own show, it's across the street, 25 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us to our main event way, Kevin Nash against Hulk Hogan. We get a whole segment of entrances where Kevin Nash is accompanied by Scott Hall, and they embrace together. I guess this was a big deal. And Hulk Hogan came out randomly with Scott Steiner, who I guess was going to be the vice president of the United States if he ran for president.
Yes. Yeah. What else can you say? Sorry, John. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, we come back from break. Bobby Heenan announced that this is going to get very interesting, Tony. And Schiavone responds, "This is what World Championship Wrestling is all about." They posture. They tease locking up. Hogan's in the corner.
The man in the corner. Let's see if that gets a reaction from Hollywood here. But he's been in so many big matches.
Well, he has.
What's that about? What's going on here?
Ladies and gentlemen,
it stinks.
The winner,
God,
a new heavyweight champion of the world from NWO Hollywood.
It is unbelievable. The new world heavyweight champion, Hollywood, Hulk Hogan.
Nash takes the biggest bump of his career onto the back and is pinned. 1, 2, 3. And they all laugh. They all embrace. Eric Bischoff has one of the worst commentary performances in history in the next 4 minutes, laughing. Bill Goldberg makes his way out. He attacks Scott Steiner. He attacks Scott Hall. He attacks Nash. He spears Hogan. And then Lex Luger comes to help out Goldberg. And as Goldberg goes to attack the NWO, Lex Luger attacks Bill Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
They beat down Goldberg. Buff Bagwell is randomly in the ring. Elizabeth made her way back and is just in the ring. No problem about these charges that she made up. You can go catch the main event. She's back. Then they chain Goldberg. They handcuff him to the ropes, beat him down with a taser. Then they spray paint NWO on his back. And then I think it was Scott Hall, the fucker, and I guarantee this was not booked.
Yeah.
Spray paint black paint all over his head. And then they try to paint more on him, and Goldberg legitimately tries to hit him. Like, you know how hard that would be to get off your bald head?
He woke up from fainting once he felt that paint on the back of his head.
Just pricks. You could tell these guys.
Hell yeah.
They're all assholes.
And this is such
legit assholes.
This is such an interesting business. When you can be put in that situation on live television and you have people take advantage of you like that, it's outrageous. This is pro wrestling is great. Pro wrestling is awesome.
So that's the end of Nitro, everyone. They drew over 40,000 people to this event. They came back in July and drew a fraction of that audience. And 2 years later, they were almost out of business. And this show was, they promoted Nash and Goldberg. They did not deliver it. I thought they completely fucked up Goldberg's character. The pay-per-view in 2 weeks, Goldberg was not even booked on. It's just a...
Yeah.
This show was just, to me, it was the turning point. It really was the turning point.
It was, well, signified by the ratings. For me, I came into this show just randomly one day, and I actually was following this storyline. For the storyline and this show itself, I didn't mind it so much. I thought it was kind of compelling.
I think as a one-off show, I was fine with this. I would even give this Nitro a 5 out of 10. But the long-term damage this show did to the company,
yeah.
I think it's hard to applaud them.
When you look at the history of the booking and the fact that the NWO by this time was already worn out enough, they decided to refresh it one more time. The fact that Goldberg not only didn't get his revenge, never will get his revenge, they won't get the title. It's fine for the heel to come out on top once in a while, but constantly burying your faces will kill your product, like we've seen with this with history. So the show itself, I think I give it 5 out of 10 as well.
Well, there you go. So it is a memorable Nitro. So.
Yeah.
I encourage for anyone that wants to read more about this, I definitely recommend the Death of WCW book by R.D. Reynolds and Brian Alvarez, who go much more into depth on just the catastrophe that this show was. So that is all for us this week. Next week, we're going to be reviewing the 1999 Royal Rumble from January of 1999, which would have been about 3 weeks after this Nitro. Mm. So we will be reviewing that. And as we head out here, what tune are we going to be going out with?
I would like to, in honor of the re-emerging Monday Night Wars, and in honor of Hulk Hogan, I'd like to dedicate this song, "The Boomtown Rats, I Don't Like Mondays," to Mr. Hogan.
Awesome stuff. Be sure to join us on our Facebook group. Give us some feedback. We'll chat with you next week with the 99 Royal Rumble.
Gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Down. The telex machine is kept so clean and it types to a waiting world. A mother feels so shocked, father's world is rocked, and their thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16 ain't that can't be cheeky. Now it ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reasons do you need? Lesson today is how to die. And then the bullhorn crackles and the captain tackles with the problems of my house and wife. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to die? Dave.